You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. This is the eve of the start of the 2020-2021 season. Los Angeles Lakers versus the Los Angeles Clippers tomorrow. Lakers will get their NBA championships. They'll get their rings. I saw a tweet a little bit earlier, Markieff Morris putting out a tweet saying, are we really getting our rings tomorrow? It is real, and this is something that the Clippers will have to watch. Obviously, for the Los Angeles Lakers, getting that championship in Orlando, as weird as last season was, it is now behind us. Really, the only thing left until you really officially kind of turn the page to this season is the first game. You get your rings, and then everybody starts focusing on potentially going back-to-back for the Los Angeles Lakers. We got a great show lined up. Really, really excited to have Kyle Kuzma on tonight at 7:30. So Kuz obviously signs his 3-year, $40 million extension yesterday. That one kind of came out of nowhere, not going to lie. And he's nice enough to take some time in about a half hour or so to talk about it and obviously talk about his role this upcoming season. I do want to start off the show. Want to spend a quick second here. So Lakers are obviously going to be favorites to win tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers. I did see a tweet, no Marcus Morris, I think, tomorrow for the Clippers. So Lakers, look, you're favorites to win the game tomorrow, but more importantly, the Lakers are favorites to win back-to-back championships. And I want to kind of take everybody back for a quick second. It was only a couple years ago where I think a lot of Laker fans were wondering, what the heck is happening to this organization? And when's the next time we're actually going to be competitive? When are we going to, you know, be in the playoff picture and have a chance to win another championship? And there were probably a lot of times over the last 5 years or so, it really wasn't even about talking about a championship. It just didn't seem like it was realistic. I was looking back, so kind of prepping for the interview with Kuz. I was looking back at Kuzma's rookie year, and I was looking back at the roster. So the roster in 2017, 2018, can I just read off what the roster was just 3 years ago? And I want to put this in perspective of the position that the Lakers are in and also the expectation for the Lakers to go back-to-back. This isn't about, you know, hey, Lakers are one of a couple teams here that got a shot. I think last season, that's what we thought about the Lakers. Yes, we all wanted them to win an NBA championship, but you also wouldn't have been surprised if there was another team that, if it was the Milwaukee Bucks or the Clippers, let's say prior to the Orlando bubble, there were 3-4 teams that you thought had a chance last year. So 2017, 2018. I'm sure many Laker fans here will recognize some of the names on here. Listen to this roster just 3 years ago. It was Lonzo Ball, Thomas Bryant. Remember Thomas Bryant Lakers got, I think it was in the second round. KCP, Alex Caruso. Okay, a couple guys that are still on this roster. Luol Deng, Tyler Ennis, Channing Frye, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Brooke Lopez, Julius Randle, Isaiah Thomas, Travis Ware, and Ivica Zubac. That was the roster 3 freaking years ago. So why do I point that out right now? I'm pointing it out because before this season gets going, and it all starts tomorrow, tip off at 7 o'clock, we'll start our pregame show at 5. You guys know you could start tuning in at 5 a.m. in the morning with Keyshawn, Jay Will, Zubin, and Travis, and you know they'll get things obviously rolling. But it was just 3 years ago that was the roster on the Los Angeles Lakers, and to be honest with you, there was no expectations. Right, the expectations at that time, it's not like you were sitting in a position saying to yourself, well, you know, we might have been hoping that the Lakers can maybe try and make a run for a playoff spot. There might have been moments where we were sitting here on air, or you were sitting there as a Laker fan, and there were moments where you're like, man, I really think this player could potentially be an all-star 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now. I mean, that was the dialogue back then. Had nothing to do with making the playoffs. I mean, maybe there was a Hail Mary shot of making the postseason. But for the most part, that was never part of the conversation. And of course, winning a championship was never part of the conversation. And then here we are sitting today, 2.5 months ago, Lakers won championship number 17. The roster obviously has been completely changed. LeBron James, that was the start of figuring out how to get back into contention. A pretty good way of trying to figure things out. Go grab one of the best players to ever play in the game. And then, of course, Anthony Davis. And now the expectations, when I say the Lakers are expected to win tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers, there would only be disappointment now if the Lakers don't go back-to-back. Honestly, I'm not saying that as a... I'm not saying that as a homer. I'm not saying that as a Laker fan that is incredibly spoiled, and pretty much anytime you go 5 years without winning an NBA championship, you think the world is about to end. The Lakers roster, top to bottom, it is only a disappointment if you don't go back-to-back this upcoming season. That's the expectations this upcoming year. And I want Laker fans to do me a favor. Do me a favor right now, appreciate this moment, because 3 years ago when I'm naming off that roster, or 4 years ago when I'm naming off the players that were on this Lakers team and this roster, and where it kind of didn't feel like, where's the light at the end of the tunnel, now you're in a spot where it's either you accomplish what you were supposed to accomplish or was a complete failure. I mean, that's kind of where the Lakers are right now. And you can go up and down different rosters around the NBA. If I've sat here like I have the last couple of weeks and I told Michael Thompson in the pregame show, I think the Clippers are the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West. Some might say, you're crazy, it's the Denver Nuggets. The drop-off between the Lakers and the rest of the Western Conference, it's a significant drop-off. I actually think... some of these teams in the Eastern Conference would give the Lakers a bigger fight than the rest of the class in the Western Conference. And that has to do with the fact that the Lakers not only got LeBron and AD, but then you had one of the best offseasons in the NBA. Actually, in an NBA survey, the GMs did a survey in the NBA. 30%+ said the Lakers had the best offseason in the NBA, and that's coming off an NBA championship. You know, look, we're in a potential here for a great window in Lakers history. And I'll tell you what I'm referring to there. I'm only going to go back to the 80s and the Showtime era and then, you know, kind of climb from there. There may never ever be another moment like the Showtime era where you went to nine. Magic alone went to 9 NBA finals. He won 5 of them. He went to 9 NBA champions. I think his whole career, he's in the league for 12 years. His rookie year, he was winning an NBA championship and, you know, obviously accomplishing things, coming in game 6, 42-15 or whatever he had when Kareem is out. And right from the start, Magic was winning championships. He made it to the NBA Finals 9 times. The Lakers won 5 NBA championships. In that 2000 era with Kobe and Shaq, of course, Lakers win 3 NBA championships and they went to 4 out of 5 NBA Finals. Lost that one to the Pistons. Year prior, they were eliminated by the Spurs. Before that, they had won 3 championships in a row. And yeah, you know, you can make the case. A lot of people would say, man, those two should have won 4, 5, 6, however many championships. That's what those two accomplished together. They won 4 out of 5 years, or they went to the finals 4 out of 5 years. And then, of course, there was a special time in Lakers history when it was Kobe and Powell. 3 NBA Finals appearances in a row. They lose the first one to the Boston Celtics. Then they come back and respond and grab 2 in a row. And then here we are. Now we're sitting in the LeBron James and Anthony Davis window of Lakers history. Now it's only going to be, of course, we're all going to remember championship number 17. And that alone is historic in, you know, obviously in Lakers history for a number of reasons. First of all, it's the year of COVID-19. it's the first year that LeBron and Anthony Davis play together. LeBron gets three NBA championships and three NBA Finals MVPs with three different teams. Anthony Davis gets his first championship. Lakers tie the Boston Celtics. I could go down the list of all the unique things that made championship number 17. But this, when I say this is has the potential of being a part of a great Lakers window, what I'm referring to there is, you know, you got to win multiple championships if you want to, at least the way I look at it, if you want to be just considered one of these, you know, be a part of one of these great windows in Lakers history, because there's so much success that this franchise has had. This could be a special one. And this year, the Lakers either go back-to-back or it's a failed season. And that's the expectations that the franchise has set. That's the expectations that, you know, this organization has put themselves in. And it's the exact expectation that you want if you're a Laker fan. If you're a Laker fan right now, this is what you're accustomed to. What you're accustomed to is either we won a championship and it was a successful season, or you did not win a championship and it was not successful. And starting tomorrow, Lakers will get that chance to kind of try their, you know, their start, their reign of going back-to-back and really being a part of Lakers history. I mean, if you go back-to-back in Lakers history, that's incredibly special. And I'm not trying to take away just championship number 17, but it really, really does put you in a very special elite class. And then who knows what the Lakers can do after that. So that all starts tomorrow. I'm sure Laker fans are obviously looking forward to the start of the NBA season. I know I am. It was a short turnaround, is what it is. These kind of are the cards that have been dealt to the Lakers, dealt to the NBA, and we'll see how the Lakers start things off tomorrow on ring night. Michael Thompson was saying that typically on it's common for teams who, when they win an NBA championship, they kind of come out a little soft. A lot of teams who end up winning championships the night they get their rings, it's not uncommon to lose that first game. We'll see if the Lakers fall into that trap. I'm sure LeBron's got enough rings to kind of warn the guys to, you know, obviously get the season started off right. Okay, so over the weekend, Kyle Kuzma gets a new contract extension. Kuzma signs a 3-year, $40 million deal with the Lakers. And the final year of his contract is a player option. So, you know, yesterday where I thought it was just, yeah, I guess you just assumed it's just going to be a quiet day. Not much going to go on in Lakerland. I was sitting around, not paying much attention, having lunch with some family, and I see the deal come out. Adrian Wojnarowski comes out, and he, you know, obviously breaks the news that that Kyle Kuzma is going to be with the Lakers for a while here, and he's signing this 3-year, $40 million extension. Initially, I'll give you guys my initial thoughts, and then we'll kind of break it down from there. By the way, Kyle Kuzma coming up at 7:30, so we'll get a chance to talk to Kuz about the new contract, expectations this upcoming year, how he feels his role can be best utilized with the Lakers, and so forth. That's coming up in about a little over 15 minutes. So initially, I see the contract, and I'm like, 3 years, $40 million for Kuz. And I was just kind of shocked or surprised. I knew that there was the potential that he would sign an extension, but I think everybody just assumed that, you know what, maybe this is going to go into next offseason and teams out there, Lakers have their rights for Kyle Kuzma, but there's a very good chance Kuz can get a contract from another team, and maybe another team out there would overpay because they have the cap space. They're trying to, you know, try to find a player that's at the right age that they can build around. Maybe they think Kuz can really be the second best player on the team. Heck, maybe some teams out there think he could be the best player on a team. I disagree with that, but you never know how some of these GMs think. So my first initial thought was I was just surprised that Kuz and the Lakers had come to an agreement on a three-year, $40 million deal with the Lakers. When we come back, let's talk about the contract. You know, there's a term in business, and I'm sure all of you guys have heard this term before, a win-win. And I don't think it's used too often, and I don't think it happens all that often when it comes to the world of sports. When we come back, I want to tell you what I'm referring to, and I think the Lakers are primed in a very, very interesting position with Kyle Kuzma. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Thank you for tuning in. This is Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Lakers taking on the Clippers tomorrow, opening night for the Los Angeles Lakers 2020-2021 season. Lakers, I'm sure, got their ring size fitted, grabbing their 17th NBA championship, tied for most in Lakers history. Kyle Kuzma over the weekend. Yesterday, on Sunday, signs a 3-year, $40 million with the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay. 3 years, $40 million for Kuz.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gotta be honest, I cannot find a negative to this contract. I really can't, and I'm talking about both sides. We've all heard the term win-win. It's a win-win. It really, really is. Listen, if you're Kyle Kuzma, which, don't get me wrong, if Kuz waited, let's say, and played out the rest of this season, who, by the way, if you thought he was going to be the third best player last season, and it did not play out that way, and that's okay. Kuzma's got a specific role for the Lakers. If he wants to stay on this team and he wants to be a part of a winning organization and he wants a chance to win NBA championships, you have to sacrifice. You're not LeBron James and you're not Anthony Davis. And you might not like Kyle Kuzma every single night. You might say, man, I wish Kuz was more consistent. Kuz, you got to hit that outside jumper. Kuz, you got to improve on defense. But the one thing I'll give Kuzma credit for, specifically in that Orlando bubble, the kid was willing to sacrifice. He was okay to play the role that the team asked him to play. All right? He's only 25 years old. He's already got an NBA championship. And the reason why I like this deal so much, let me first explain why I like it for Kyle Kuzma. 3 years, $40 million. By the way, just a reminder, Kuz coming up at 7:30, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. The reason why I like it for Kyle Kuzma, this is a good-sized contract for Kuz. This is a contract that shows Kyle Kuzma you're going to make about $13 million a year, which, by the way, final year, it's a player option. So if you're balling out and these next couple of years you start looking at that contract and you start saying, I'm being underpaid. I'm watching other guys around the league. My production, what I bring to the table, I should be getting paid more than this. Kuz has the option in 2 years to play out those 2 years. And in that final year, instead of making $13 million, maybe he's got a chance to go sign a bigger contract, whether it's here with the Lakers or it's somewhere else or whatever the case is. But also, if you're Kuz, this is something that you have to understand. It's not like Kuzma's been the most consistent player. It's not like Kuz, every single night, you know exactly what you're going to get from him. You know, I think one of the frustrations that Laker fans have with Kuz is one night he might give you 20 and hit 4 3-pointers and grab 8 or 9 rebounds, but the next 2 nights, I might not say his name in the postgame show. That's realistic. That happens. Now, Kuz also is in a position where he's got to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I've said this point a ton, and I can't emphasize it anymore. I hear a lot of people. Maybe they call into the post-game show, or maybe they hit me on Twitter, or they call into Lakers Talk, and they say, yeah, but have you seen Kuz's numbers when AD or LeBron James is not playing? That's irrelevant. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to be playing. You want LeBron James and Anthony Davis to be playing. What you want Kuzma to do is find ways to be the most effective player he can be with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the floor. And hell, if he can do it, all three of them on the floor together, Kuz is going to get a lot of run. Kuz is going to get an incredible amount of opportunities. Okay, so for Kuz, I like this deal for Kuz because in the short term, he's going to get paid 13 plus a year. He's going to have opportunities in his own career to develop and to show that he's not a one-dimensional player. And then I also like the deal for Kuz because if he starts balling out, well, he's got a player option where he can come back to the table in a couple years, and whether it's with the Los Angeles Lakers or with another team out there in the league, Maybe that $13 million turns into $18 million a year. And that's not, it's not like that's uncommon. I actually thought, and I was just mentioning this a few minutes ago, I mentioned it to Michael in the pregame show. I thought with Kuz, let's just say he waited out this year and he waited in the offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if a team, you know, that has a lot of cap space, who, by the way, is not a contender, who's looking just to, you know, flash their name into some headlines, looking for somebody that's also going to be marketable. I wouldn't be surprised to go pay for a Kyle Kuzma, the potential, the age, where he's at, and everything else, and pay him whatever that amount is, but more than $13 million a year. That doesn't sound like a shocker or a surprise or anything, but I also think it's smart for Kuz to know what the value is of being with this Lakers franchise for the next couple years. Because I think a lot more people wouldn't know Kyle Kuzma if he was not drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers and if he wasn't playing aside LeBron James and Anthony Davis. There's value to that. I think Kuzma has his shoe deals with Puma. And I'm sure there's other endorsements that Kuzma has as well. I don't know if you have those endorsements if you're in Phoenix or if you're with Charlotte or if you're in Washington. Or if you're with the San Antonio Spurs. I just don't think that, you know, there's power to being with a powerful franchise, and Kuz obviously is a beneficiary of that. Okay, let's look at it from the Lakers' perspective. Why is this a good deal for the Los Angeles Lakers? You know how much value there is in a player who's 25 years old, who's 6'8", 6'9", who can shoot the three ball, who's finding ways in his game to be more as much of a benefit as possible to a championship team. There's a lot of benefit to that. A three-year $40 million contract is not a bad contract in the NBA. Look at some of these contracts. Later, when I do top NBA stories, I'm going to throw out some of these NBA contracts that are being thrown around the NBA. And you tell me, compare those contracts to a guy like Kyle Kuzma, if that's a bad contract for the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't believe it is. I believe it's a very, very fair contract for both sides. Now, by the time Kuzma's contract is done, one of two things can happen. Either Kuz was, well, I guess three things can happen. One scenario that could play out, you could say, yeah, that was about right. Another scenario that could play out is Kuz way overperformed his contract. And the last scenario that I think could play out that I think is the least likely is that the Lakers really overpaid for Kyle Kuzma. I just don't see that happening with this contract. And you know what this makes me think of? So Hoops Hype has, I'm sure many people are very aware of the Hoops Hype, but it's got all the NBA salaries kind of just listed out here. And if you look at the Lakers right now and you look at the contracts that they have, first of all, one of the big things that happened, The Athletic had a good article that pointed this out. One of the big things that happened this past summer was Anthony Davis signed the max deal. LeBron James got a two-year extension. Once those two players financially took care of themselves, and you know they're going to be with the Lakers, you know, for the next few years, those hopes and dreams of thinking you're going to go out and get another all-star this upcoming summer, that LeBron and AD were going to match up their contracts, going to be 1+1, then they'll walk into the offseason with this free agency pitch, they'd be part of the whole thing and say, let's all work on our contracts together and sing kumbaya. That all kind of went out the door once LeBron and Anthony Davis signed the deals that they did. But look at the deals that the Lakers have over these next couple of years, and you tell me if you think these are wise contracts or contracts that you feel at any point they're movable, they're assets, however you want to look at it. KCP's on a three-year $40 million deal. That's a good contract. That's a fair contract. There are plenty of teams around the NBA that would love to have a 26-year-old that can play the role that he plays, that has championship experience, and he's on a three-year $40 million contract. Kuz is on a obviously identical contract. I've already made all my cases of why that's a good deal. Some more contracts are on the Lakers' books right now. Dennis Schroeder is in a contract year. So if you're excited about Dennis Schroeder, you should be excited because he's a really, really talented point guard. Another reason why you should be excited about Dennis Schroeder, he's on a contract year. So he's got something to play for. First of all, he's playing for a championship. Second of all, he's playing for the Lakers. Third of all, he's trying to, you know, play with this dynamic duo of LeBron and Anthony Davis. What a great moment in his career. Plus, he's due for a contract. Throw out a couple more contracts. Wesley Matthews on a one-year deal, $3.5 million, $3.6 million. Montrezl Harrell is on a two-year deal at $9 million a year. Montrezl Harrell's got the player option for next season. Montrezl Harrell's coming off 18.7 rebounds a game and a sixth man of the year. You don't think that's a good contract? Of course it's a good contract. Up and down the Lakers roster, these are controlled contracts. Movable contracts if you need them to be movable. Strong assets that are a part of this Lakers roster. So I'm a big, big fan of the Kuzma contract. I just listed out 35 reasons why, and I really think it's a win-win. So let's do this. When we come back, we won't waste any more time. We'll hear from Kyle Kuzma.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Nice enough to take some time to join Lakers talk here, and we'll get his thoughts on his new deal with the Los Angeles Lakers and his upcoming thoughts to the season starting tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Want to welcome in Kyle Kuzma, taking the time to champion, by the way. Kuz, I should always refer to you as a champion moving forward, but thank you for taking some time to joining the show, my man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, look, I'm going to get your thoughts on this. So the last 3 months for you as a whole, going from a player that now is an NBA champion, and then, of course, the big news yesterday, your extension with the Los Angeles Lakers. Can you just kind of walk us through what these last few months have meant for you and you know, obviously what this means for you and your family?
Oh, man, it's been a great 3 months. You know, this is, you know, something that's really accelerated my learning curve as a player and, you know, just as a person in life. You know, obviously winning a championship, you know, that brings a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, but it also brings a, you know, just a different type of mentality to you and, you know, how you approach things, how you approach life. So, you know, it means a lot. And speaking on the contract, you know, it's great. You know, just to know that, you know, my family don't really have to worry too much. That's always the ultimate goal and the reason why you do it for. So,
because, you know, it's interesting because I always find your role very fascinating on the team. And what I'm referring to there is you're a player that's got so much potential, but at the same time, you gotta, I'm not saying you gotta bottle up your potential, but you have to keep into consideration that this is a championship roster. You just won a championship. Has that been difficult for you? I mean, do you kind of look at your specific opportunity and say, man, I know if I had more shots, I could put up these type of numbers? Or have you grown comfortable with the fact that you're at the age you are, but you got a chance to win championships, and it's still at the same time, obviously, work on your game?
It's a little bit of both. You know, obviously as a competitor, and somebody like me being, you know, just ultra confident in myself, obviously you do think that way, but also when you just take a step back and you realize that not everyone has opportunities to win championships. And for me, you know, just to be blessed enough to, you know, be in a championship window while also improving, you know, improving my game, you know, improving my defense, improving my passing ability, learning from the great leaders that we have. All that is going to serve me well in my marathon. So, you know, that's what it's about, really.
Kyle Kuzma joining Lakers Talk, taking some time to join Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Kuz, just sticking with that for a second, you talk about the players that have kind of maybe helped you perspective-wise from when you were drafted to where you are today. As you look at your career moving forward, what are some areas that you know, from an individual perspective, you really want to focus on? Are there areas of your game coming into the season that you're paying close attention to?
Man, the biggest thing is just defense. You know, I'm trying to be a great player, and, you know, not too many people in the league really play, you know, two ways, you know, anymore. So for me, I want to be known as that. You know, obviously, I can score, you know, I can do those things, but just bringing challenges to myself, you know, focusing on that end, and, you know, just to maximize this window and continue to try to, you know, put banners up. You know, that's just the biggest thing. You know, and that's just the goal, you know.
AD, after practice yesterday, mentioned that you are embracing taking the challenge of guarding other teams' best offensive players. So like you were just saying, the defensive side is where you want to expand your game. Has that evolved for you? When you first got into the league, did you think that you would have that much interest of saying, okay, let me see if I could be a stopper on defense? Is that something that just over time you've seen that, hey, I could really be one of those guys that excels not on just one side but both sides of the court?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I think that's just a big part of it, part about being a great player. You know, just looking at a guy like Anthony Davis, he does it on both ends, and that's what makes him special. And, you know, I see that, and, you know, I really admire it. So, of course, I want that for myself. And, I mean, in order to get better, you have to guard the best, and you have to you have to go out and accept those challenges. So for me, you know, that's the way to get better.
Kyle Kuzma taking some time to join Lakers Talk here. Kuz, a lot of conversation has been made over the Lakers offseason and, you know, adding guys like Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. And, of course, there's already very talented players on the team. Put LeBron and AD on the side. But guys like yourself and Alex Caruso and KCP, and we're kind of seeing what Talen Horton-Tucker, what his potential is. What is that competition like in practice? Is it how beneficial is it to have 10, 11, 12 guys that you know can get playing time at any time? Does it become incredibly competitive in practice? Almost, I don't want to say people fighting over minutes as a bad thing, but I'm trying to look at that from a positive perspective. Do you see that happening this season?
I mean, that's just a great issue to have, especially when you're trying to win championships. You know, from an individual standpoint, yeah, you know, guys, you know, that's just the nature of the game. Everyone's competitive, so, you know, everyone wants to play 45 minutes a game, and rightfully so as a competitor. But when you're trying to win championships, you have to realize, you know, sacrifice is part of it. And also in practice, you know, that's the time for us to get better. You know, when we're all going at each other, you know, that's just making the games easier. You know, when we're playing against when you're playing against LeBron James or Montrezl Harrell in practice, and everyone's barking and everybody's getting after it, you know, that's a great thing for our team. And individually, it's great for you because you get better from it.
You know, Kuz, I've heard you say this probably 5 or 6 times in this, you know, short conversation that we've had. It's all about championships, and it sounds like you're somebody that understands the opportunity that's in front of you. You see this roster, you see obviously coming off a championship. What do you think? Just what are your thoughts on going back-to-back and this team trying to hang another banner up at Staples Center?
Yeah, man. No, I think we have a great opportunity upon ourselves. You know, we have a great team. I think this offseason, the organization has done a great job of managing, you know, keeping, you know, certain core guys and then also adding to it. And for us, you know, we got younger, added Dennis Schroeder, which is one of the quickest point guards in the NBA. Montrezl Harrell, obviously, you know, sixth man of the year, you know, snagging Wesley Matthews, you know, just someone that's a dog and someone that, you know, can really shoot it you know, he's year 12, so you know what to expect from him. So the biggest thing is just, you know, getting everybody on the same page, and obviously sacrifices is always going to be the main thing when you're talking about winning championships, but, you know, trying to figure out guys to gel, what lineups work best, you know, all those little things, it matters when you're talking about trying to win a championship. So, you know, we got a lot of time. You know, we always like to say the regular season is all about rehearsal. And it's all rehearsal for the big dance, which is the playoffs. So, you know, we got 72 games to figure it out.
Well, Kuz, look, it's been great to kind of watch your career evolve, and I know that it's the word sacrifice. There's something to it. There's other players that get opportunities on other teams to take as many shots as possible. I think in your role, and it's something that I think you embrace. So we're looking forward to see what you do here in your fourth year, and just want to wish you the best, and obviously congratulations on your new deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, and thank you very much for taking the time and joining the show.
Yeah, man, no problem, man. Appreciate you having me. Happy holidays, and you know, hopefully we get back to where we're supposed to be.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Kuz.
Yep.
All right, that's Kyle Kuzma right there. Solid stuff from Kyle Kuzma, just signing a three-year, $40 million contract with the Lakers, and now it's up to Kuz to go out there and roll up his sleeves and go earn those minutes. Nothing will be handed, as we know, when it comes to this season for the Los Angeles Lakers, and certainly for Kuz. He's got an opportunity in front of him. I think the main thing he talked about is trying to make it happen on the defense. If Kuz can make it happen on the defensive side this upcoming year, his butt's going to be playing a lot of minutes this year. I mean, if you really, really think about it just from that perspective, if he becomes an asset on the defensive side, the offense is already there. It's just going to come down to the defensive side. All right, Laker fans, now is when we start promoting some phone calls from Los Angeles Laker fans. So if you're listening on the app or you're listening on the road right now, you're driving around Southern California, you just heard Kyle Kuzma right there. I'll ask Laker fans, what do you think of that three-year, $40 million extension for Kyle Kuzma? And what do you want to see Kuz improve on? What if you got to look at Kuzma's game, and there's one thing coming into this season that you want to see Kuz improve on, let me know. 877-710-ESPN. More Lakers talk coming up. This is Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN. All right, not going to lie, I'm kind of hyped for tomorrow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Curtis, I'm kind of hyped for tomorrow. I don't know what you want me to tell you, but I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to see a ring ceremony again. It feels like forever.
Well, it's a beautiful thing for some of these players that have never won a championship. Of course, it will be awkward tomorrow because you're going to be getting championships with really nobody, obviously, in the audience except some media. So Lakers getting championship number 17. Guys like, you know, I'm excited about, I mean, of course, I'm excited for Anthony Davis. Of course, I'm excited for guys like Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma getting an NBA championship, LeBron. I mean, LeBron, how ridiculous is this? LeBron comes to the Los Angeles Lakers, his 16th year in the NBA, and, you know, people are like, well, what has he got left? You know, what else is he going to do? And delivers an NBA championship, gets an NBA Finals, and tomorrow Lakers and certainly that organization will take a moment to appreciate what they accomplished, and they'll get that championship ring. Okay, so let me stay on the conversation real quick with Kyle Kuzma. So you guys just heard Kuz right there, and by the way, I'm very appreciative that that Kuz, you know, obviously took the time. Thank you to Lakers Public Relations for making that happen as well. But I it's one thing when you get a chance to talk to these players, and, you know, we're a part of these Zoom calls, so you get a chance to lob a question in. And it's the same as if before it was COVID, everybody kind of takes their turns. But it is really different when you get that kind of that one-on-one experience with a player or a coach or something along those lines. You feel like you can go deeper, or you can ask follow-up questions, whatever the case is. So a couple things stuck out in that conversation with Kuz. 877-710-ESPN. I do want to ask Laker fans out there, your initial thoughts on that Kuzma extension, 3 years, $40 million. Do you like the deal for the Lakers? Do you think that the Lakers got a tremendous amount of value? Do you think, no, I think they overpaid? I mean, give me your thoughts on what you think of Kuzma's extension. Plus, if there's one thing you want Kuz to improve on this upcoming season, as the Lakers try to go back-to-back, tell me what it is. 877-710-ESPN. My favorite part of the conversation was when I asked Kuz is what's most important this upcoming year. And for him, it was the defensive side of the ball. Kuz wants to be a better defensive player, and that he said that he admires Anthony Davis because he's not just doing it on one side of the court. Every time we have MVP conversations with Michael Thompson, right? We start talking to Michael. Michael, if you're drafting a player and you're starting a franchise right now, and he, you know, will hesitate on certain players. He'll hesitate on a guy like Harden, or he'll hesitate on a guy like Luka, because he says, well, there's two sides to the, you know, obviously two sides to the court. So you can't be really, really good as just an offensive player, but be an incredible liability on the defensive side. That's, you know, that comes into weight. You're equating that when you try to think of certain players and so forth. So for me, when I hear Kuz say that the defensive side of the ball is incredibly important for him, you know, that's an area that he wants to improve on the most. You want to hear that from a Laker fan, right? You want to hear that there's a player that cares about playing two ways. And there are players like Alex Caruso, you know, is going to give absolutely everything on the defensive side. KCP is not a liability on defense. AD is the best defensive player in the NBA. I remember when we were going through the postseason in the Orlando bubble. You know when the few times that the Lakers lost, what'd they lose? They lost one game to Portland, one game to Houston, one game to Denver, and then they lost two to the Miami Heat. I felt like, and I don't have all the scores in front of me, but I felt like every time I did a postgame show and the Lakers would lose a game and everybody was calling in and saying, you know what, I didn't like this player, should have shot better, or that player should. Lakers would lose games on defense. They would give up 110 or 111 points. But the games they won, they were locking down teams. It was 98 points, 96 points they were giving up on the other end, or the low hundreds. So defensively, to hear Kuz talk about how that's the area of his game that he's most compelled to try to change, that's obviously big. That's obviously key. And you want to hear that if you're a Laker fan. I will say this also about Kuz. He still does have a lot to prove. I mean, one of the areas of his game that is so important is it's inconsistency. You know, last game's a perfect example. His final preseason game against the Phoenix Suns. I think the game before that, that's when he had 20-plus points, and, you know, we were all kind of saying, well, look at him and look at Talen Horton-Tucker. Those are the two guys to talk about so far in preseason play. I think he had 25 in Game 3. He had 23 in Game 2. But then, you know, when everybody was playing and they were playing big-time minutes with Anthony Davis, LeBron, he went 2-for-9 in that final game. It's the inconsistency with Kyle Kuzma that I think becomes a big part of the conversation a lot of the times. And if he could figure out that part, you know, who knows what his ceiling is. All right, that's Kuz. If you want to react on any part of that Kuzma conversation, or what part of his game you want to see him improve most, 877-710-ESPN. We got a chance to hear from Coach earlier today. Actually, no, let me do this. AD talked about Kuz's extension. This was yesterday. Let me play this real quick because I do want you guys to hear this. This is AD on his thoughts on Kuz getting that 3-year, $40 million deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for him. You don't have that contract anxiety for the whole year. You know, now that it's out the way, he can go out there and play, and which he was doing anyway. You know, he was having a great, you know, preseason, and he even played great for us in a bubble and all last year. So, you know, he's locked in. He made a great jump, you know, both ends of the floor. He wants to take those matchups. He wanted to guard Book in the preseason. He wanted to guard Kawhi in the preseason. So and Paul. So he wants those matchups. He's playing extremely well for us on the offensive end, making big shots. You know, shooting the ball extremely well, making the right play, the right passes. So it's good for him. You know, we're excited to have him here. You know, I know he's excited to be here, and he's a champion. You know, you deserve it, and I'm glad that the Lakers were able to, you know, work something out with him to be able to allow him to just go out there and play and not worry about contracts for the rest of the season.
Man, I love AD. AD is, AD is just ridiculous. Not only on the court, but off the court, just the way he kind of addresses the media. He's always honest, always trying to show confidence to his players. You gotta love AD. The Lakers had coach Frank Vogel spoke earlier today as well. Markieff Morris chatted as well, and I mentioned AD yesterday. This becomes the time now where, you know, you start looking at the Lakers and you start looking at expectations this upcoming season, and you really start paying attention to individual players, how everybody's going to click and everything else. I do kind of have some curiosity for how deep this Lakers team is, what the starting lineup's going to look like. I mean, we still don't have any idea. So a lot of that still has not been determined. Let's take a couple quick calls here, and then and we'll continue this conversation. Christian in Montebello, appreciate you calling in. Christian, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You know what? I just want to say real quick, I think it was a great signing, you know, that they did sign Kuz again. But I want him to remember, you know, back a couple of years ago when, you know, his ferocity going and drive to the basket and, like, want a dunk on Embiid. I think that was, like, a big shining moment. He didn't get the dunk on him, but just a matter of fact, to be able to try to do that to him, you know?
You think he's not, you're saying, being more aggressive? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, being more aggressive and not be so hesitant, you know? I know he has two mega all-stars in front of him, but, you know, when he's on the court, he could still go up and drive and try to get that big, massive dunk that he used to do in his earlier in the career, you know?
Well, Christian, let's see. And I appreciate you calling in. Let's see let's see what happens this season. You know, I think there's a point to what Anthony Davis is making, too, saying that once you do get a contract, you could probably ease up a little bit. Ease up in the sense that you don't have to worry about, from a financial perspective, or always that conversation of trade talks and trade rumors and everything else. I think there is something to that where he can kind of come to work now and be like, all right, no matter what happens, I know what the next couple of years looks like for me and my family. You know, you're not always on edge. And I get it if Kuzma's been on edge. I mean, the last couple of years, that's all the conversation's been about Kuz. And I'm to blame for it as well. I fall into that trap. There were a lot of times these last couple of years where I sit back and I say, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they use Kuz and a player to go try to get a veteran that can help him right now to win a championship. And the Lakers and Pelinka, they took a different approach. They're like, no, not only are we going to keep Kuz, but we're also going to win a championship. And if we go out and we trade a guy like Danny Green, Kuzma's not going to be a part of that deal. And we're going to go out there and we're going to sign an extension for Kyle Kuzma. I mean, honestly, I mean, if you really, really think about the last couple of years and think about how people have kind of painted how Kyle Kuzma is going to be used for the Lakers, this is completely different than a lot of other people I think would have envisioned. You know the saying, some people play chess, some people play checkers. I'm a checkers guy. Obviously, I'm not playing chess out there. Amin El Hassan on the jump, actually with Sedano, was talking about the Kuzma deal.
It's a great move, and it's a great move for Kyle Kuzma as well. From the Lakers' perspective, you've got a young player who's developing, who was a contributing factor last year but dealt with some injuries. You got him at a very cost-efficient contract, $40 million over 3 years, and obviously that last one is a player option. So for the next 2 years after this one, they've got Kuzma, who they expect to grow and continue to be a contributor. From Kuzma's standpoint, he gets some financial security right now. Remember, he was a low first-round pick, so it's not like his rookie scale deal was millions and millions and millions of dollars. So he's got some security, but here's the better part. Because of the NBA rules surrounding trades with a guy who's agreed to a rookie extension, the poison pill rule basically makes it so that the Lakers are almost impossible or highly improbable to trade him this year. So Kuzma gets to opt out after 2 years and say, hey, maybe I played for 2 NBA championships after this second year here. It gives him more value in the trade market. It gives him more value on the free agency market in a couple of years. So I think everybody won with this one.
All right, that's Amin El-Hassan right there. Okay, this is what I want to do when we come back. So I want to start hitting on some of the top NBA stories. So there's a lot of contracts being thrown around the NBA. I'm talking about a lot of contracts being slanged out there, all right, being thrown around left and right. And this should give a little bit of perspective of, you know, obviously what the contract is for the Lakers that they gave Kuz, plus the Milwaukee Bucks lose a second-round pick. 2 games coming up tomorrow. I mean, there's a lot to get into on the NBA front. NBA, top NBA stories coming up next. By the way, Johan Buha, who covers the Lakers for The Athletic, he's coming on at 8:30. Stay right here. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.